now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, our very special guest is Sue Plavetich Waters. Sue is a former scientist with a Bachelor of Science degree in biochemistry and microbiology and has worked in the pharmaceutical industry for over a decade. She has qualifications in mycology and from the Australian Institute of Management in Training, Management, Public Speaking, and Project Management. Sue has also worked in the food industry as a quality control manager and auditor. Even though Sue has been awake and sensitive to energies and had experiences with spirit, extraterrestrials, and interdimensionals from a young age, she didn't fully awaken until the birth of her third child. She experienced an intense awakening where she battled with her left and right brain and academic programs and then eventually left her successful career. Sue was a natural-born psychic, medium, healer, and teacher. She was guided by spirit to do this work, and she had awareness return of her role in Gaia. Sue says her main role is to get her clients back on the right path by removing energetic blocks, help them ascend to higher levels of consciousness, and empower themselves. Sue runs workshops on psychic development and other metaphysical subjects. She does house clearings, some involving removal of entities and shutting portals. Her work also involves clearing blocks, traumas, and cycles from past lives and timelines. She tunes into her clients and downloads knowledge required to help them. She has had much success with the techniques she uses, which are all ancient knowledge and not learned from any traditional schools. She is a contactee and experiencer and recalls a lot of conscious memory on craft and with beings, including attending school and activations of DNA, and also some awareness of her multidimensional self. Most of her experiences have been positive, but she has the ability to see many beings, including negative entities, which she clears and removes from locations and people. Sue is currently working on her book, website, and writing articles and modules for future teaching and activating of her students and clients. She will be running a tarot course, meditation class, and several support groups, one including Star Kids. She has two Facebook groups, Spirituality and Science and Extraterrestrial and Interdimensional Awakening. Sue was also mentioned in several books, including Mary Rodwell's new book, The New Human, Awakening to Our Cosmic Heritage, and Dermot Kelly's Weird, A Reality Words Can't Explain. And her Facebook page, one of them anyway, is facebook.com/Sue-Plavetich-Waters-Psychic-Medium. So I'm sure you can find Sue that way. If not, you can contact me on Facebook and I will connect you with Sue. So without any further ado, Sue Plavetich Waters, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Hi, James. Thank you. I'm so honored to be on your show.
Well, the honor is all ours because we're always looking for people that can help our listeners and help humanity at large really gain an understanding of just who we are, our quantum multidimensional selves. Could you tell our listeners, Sue, a bit about yourself and your childhood and the road that led you to your current path?
Well, when I was a child, I always felt myself really different from everybody else. I saw things in a different perspective, and I used to read people a lot. So I would actually tell my mother a lot about all of her friends. And I used to say to her, well, this friend's like this and this friend's like that. And Mum used to think I was a really strange child. So, it was an interesting experience, but I didn't really understand what my abilities were until I got a little bit older. I also had experiences where at night time I would see lights coming through my window and I'd have to go to sleep and make sure all of my windows were like covered so I wouldn't see any lights coming through because I knew that they were coming for me or I knew I would be having contact. So I've had lots of experiences as a child where I have premonition dreams as well. I used to wake up in strange positions, with visions of, what happened last night. And once I actually found myself on the street in the middle of the night outside on the road staring at something, and I believe now that it was a UFO contact experience where I was actually out of my room. So I've had many experiences, but what's happened is when I got a little bit older, I decided to go into science. So I was really, really fascinated with science fiction anything to do with science, Star Trek, any kind of sci-fi stuff. So I was really interested in that. And I decided to go and do my degree in science. However, when I started doing the science degree, or even before that, I found that I was not really getting the information that I was wanting to get through science. It was like something was always missing from my life, and I wasn't sure what that was, so I wasn't fully awakened at that stage. So when I started doing my science degree, I kept looking for, searching for something, but I'm not sure what it was. So then I realised it was really the paranormal stuff that was missing. It was this the mysterious stuff that no one really speaks about. So when I went through uni, I actually was shut down a lot. So I kind of went into the academia land and I shut down a lot of my abilities and a lot of my experiences. However, I did always say that I always spoke about UFOs. So I was fascinated with UFOs and I was fascinated with the Bermuda Triangle and all these different kind of things that normal people don't talk about. And I used to always tell my friends, oh, you know, the UFOs are here and they're going to come one day and you're going to see them all, you know, don't laugh at me. So I used to kind of be quite open about it. Then I kind of went from that to, I can talk forever, James.
Oh, please continue. You're doing fine.
Yeah. Okay. So as I went into, and I did my degree, and then I started going into, I actually got a job in pharmaceuticals. So I kind of went through the pharmaceutical land and I went from, you know, doing the bench work. And I started going into the management role. So I had a lot of experience with people and I love working with people. And I used to find that they used to come to me naturally, like a counsellor kind of person. So they used to come to me and speak to me. And they're quite open with me and I really actually enjoyed, you know, speaking to them. So I actually found during that time where I used to speak to them, I used to get a lot of information that was not, they wouldn't actually speak to me about. So I was kind of reading them. Now, this is the ability I've had since a child, to be able to read people. So I would see through the mask and I'd see through, you know, the facade, and I'd be able to go right through and really read into their souls. But I knew that I wasn't supposed to be doing this. So I kind of kept pulling back from it, but it was like a natural ability that kept going through. What happened too was, as I was going through the science field, I mean, I worked my way up to the management level, and I kind of started shifting a little bit in what my, because I was always open to the conspiracy theories and, you know, the chemtrails and, you know, the Illuminati stuff. And I was always open to all of that. I never blocked that out totally, but I did block out the psychic abilities and, you know, the mediumship and the spirit. So I kind of blocked all that out, and even the ET stuff, because I always thought, no, that's not me. It's just, you know, this thing that I have, you know, something that I'm interested in. I didn't actually think that I was actually a contactee or that I was psychic or anything like that. I thought everybody kind of had it. So it was an experience that I thought that everybody was going through, not just me. And it wasn't until one day when I was going to have lunch with my technicians and some of the scientists that I said something really, really strange, and they all kind of looked at me. And what I said was, you know that voice that you hear that tells you when to do stuff and when not to do stuff? You know that voice that guides you? And they all stopped their lunch and they looked at me and they've gone, no, Sue, we don't actually know what you're talking about. So I've just looked at them and I've gone, okay, then, well, I think I better be quiet. So it was little things like that. So, and what I actually did feel that where I worked was there was one kind of place in the warehouse where I always used to feel, because I used to go to the warehouse sometimes to get some, you know, some ingredients or stock or whatever it was that I had to get, or even meetings. And I'd be going through parts of the where I used to work and there was a warehouse and it was like a spirit was in there, but I wasn't fully turned on yet. So it was like I was feeling the energy, but I wasn't quite sure what it was. So I went through things like that during my awakening, or during the, you know, as I was growing up into the teenage, early adulthood and everything. So I'd have stuff like that happen. Now, I always used to have really intense dreams. So I used to dream about I was on a craft, or I was at school, or I'd dream that I'd have interaction with spirit. Or I'd be, you know, seeing my auntie that's passed away and she'd come to me in spirit. And one thing that I did actually remember quite well is I had a dream about my auntie who passed away, you know, suddenly. And I dreamt that she came to me. And when I woke up in the morning, and in my dream, she actually opened the door of my bedroom. And I normally keep my door shut, or at least, you know, just a little bit open. And I woke up in that morning after that dream and I saw that my door was fully opened. So to me, so I was getting little signs like that all the time from spirit, but I was kind of just ignoring them. And it wasn't until the birth of my third child where my abilities fully kicked in. And it was a really intense period for me in my life, because I just had a baby, a newborn. He was about, I don't know, 5 weeks old, and I had two other kids to look after. I was on maternity leave, so I wasn't working at that time. And it was one night when I was feeding him, and I went into the room where the television was, which was just across our bedroom, you know, past the hallway. So I went in there, and I used to feed him there at night, and I used to put him back to bed. So this one night, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, sometime like that, early morning, I actually fed him. I put him back into his cot in our bedroom. So I went back to turn the TV off and the lights off. So as I've come back through the hallway, there was a little bit of light shining from the street down that hallway. And in the corner of my eye, in the peripheral vision, I actually saw a shadow. Now, I was seeing shadows a lot at this stage, but every time I would turn my head, the shadow would be gone. So I was seeing a lot of these kind of shadow people, shadows, movement in the corner of my eyes, a lot of the flashing of the lights as well. But this night, when I went past that hallway, I turned my head, and because I saw that shadow. But as I turned my head, the shadow was still there. So myself and the shadow were staring at each other at like 3:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning down the hallway. And I just froze, because I was like, oh my God, this shadow is actually really there. And I knew it was a male. So I knew this shadow was a male, and he was staring at me and I was staring at him. And I was like frozen in time. So it felt like I was frozen for like 20 minutes, but it was probably just a couple of seconds. And as I stood there, I saw the shadow, and he was kind of looking at me, and all of a sudden the shadow took off. So I heard this whooshing sound, and he went straight into the study room, which was right next to where he was standing, so that corridor. So if he went straight ahead, he'd go into the study room. And then in the study room, as he swished in there, there was a massive bang. So it became physical. So it wasn't just a shadow anymore. Now it was something physical, because I heard a bang in that room. And it was that loud that my partner at the time, he actually woke up, and he says to me, "What are you doing? You're going to wake the whole house up." That's how loud it was.
Wow.
And I just said, yeah, he came out and he said to me, you know, what are you? And I said, there's something that's just gone into the study room and it's made that bang. So I was trying to explain to him, you know, half in fear, what I just saw, because at that time I was quite fearful, obviously. And we kind of went in there, and one of the weight boxes that he had, because he had a box of weights, the whole box actually fell. That was the loud bang. So that shadow or the being, whatever it was, must have gone at really fast speed to be able to knock down that box of weights. So it's just things like that. And a wake-up call for me, it was like, oh, my God, Sue, what are you seeing? You're going crazy. So after that, things intensified. So I started seeing, like, flashing lights. When I'd go to bed at night, I had my eyes closed, and I would see, like, paparazzi lights going off in my bedroom through with my eyes shut. So it was really intense experiences like that, and I wasn't sure what was going on with me. And then it got to the point where I started seeing spirit people walking through my house. You know, I'm feeding my little one, and I'd be seeing, you know, people walking through my walls, trying to talk to me, asking for this person. It was like a full-on awakening. So it was like I was attracting all the spirit. Now, the first ones that actually came through to me that were trying to communicate through like mediumship kind of way were my two uncles. Now, I used to actually see smoke and smell smoke in my house a lot, like cigarette smoke. And one day I kind of sat down. It was like I was guided to sit down. I've just gone, right, I know you're here. Please tell me what you want and who you are. Because it got to the point where I just got sick of it. So what happened was I actually started getting information, and I wrote it down. And I thought, well, I'm going to ask my mum. So I told my mum about, you know, the uncles and, you know, how they passed away. Because I never met my uncles. They were overseas and they passed away. I think one or two of them passed away, because I've got a few of them that passed away. But I think those two passed away before I was even born. So I never actually met them. So I didn't know much about them at all, because mum didn't really speak about them much, because it was such a long time ago. And I started telling mum about all this stuff they used to do in childhood and bringing up all this stuff. And mum's just going to me, there is no way you'd know this. I've never told you. So it wasn't until then that I realised that, you know, that there was something odd about me, and how did I get this information? But it did actually get to the point where I thought, before that happened, that I thought, I really need to go and see a doctor. Something is not right with me. I've got a problem. I need help. So when it came to that point, that's when I started getting these messages coming through, and I kind of knew that, you know, this wasn't just my imagination. I wasn't, you know, with a mental disorder or anything. It was more like I was receiving information and messages. So, you know, it was a massive awakening for me, and it kept continuing, you know, on and on. I had my friend come one day, and I was feeding my little guy in the bedroom, and she was sitting in the lounge and watching television. And as I'm feeding the little one, I had her father come to me, and her father's telling me how he passed away, and, you know, messages for the daughter. And so I've come out there because I was quite close with her, and she was pretty open. So I said to her, look, I think I've had your father come to me, and he's telling me this. So it wasn't until I started receiving these messages that I realised, hey, something's going on, and it's not, you're not crazy. You're actually getting messages from spirit. So, yeah, it was just things like that, Jane. So it was like a continual process. I mean, it was just so many things that were happening to me. I mean, there was one point where I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw this bright light on the left side of me, like on the end of my bed. And I turned my head and I was trying to see through this bright light because I was trying to work out what that light was and where it was coming from. But it was right next to me. So as I looked right into this light, this bright light, I actually saw an angelic being. So I was experiencing, like, you know, not just the spirit world. I was actually experiencing, like, the angelic realms, and I was experiencing, you know, different types of beings, not just spirit, like relatives and, you know, that type of stuff. So I was starting to experience a wide range of things that was all, like, so overwhelming for me. And it took me, like, a year to come to terms with, you know, the science brain and then, you know, the spiritual side of myself. So I was really battling between the two things. Now, during this time also, I did experience negative stuff too. So I'd experience, because I had a lot of fear, because I wasn't sure what was going on with me, I experienced, you know, the sleep paralysis. Like, I'd see this dark kind of blanket-looking thing coming towards me, and I felt it. And I actually saw it in my mind while I was sleeping. So I had, like, this awareness. And I saw it come on top of me, and it just slammed me down into the bed, and I couldn't move. Like, I couldn't speak, I couldn't move, but I was awake. So I just had experiences like that that were quite scary. So it was like they were trying to scare me into fully awakening, or, you know, trying to block me from, you know, coming forward and doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So I had a lot of that stuff, and it got to the point where I would leave the lights on at night. That's how scared I used to be. So I did have a lot of fear at the start, and what happens is with the fear, they feed on the fear. So then they become more powerful and you become weak. So, you know, I had to go through these stages, and there was one point too where I had these three beings come into my room. They were like, they look like, the, you know, the caped ones with the capes, the dark capes.
Yes.
So I actually felt, before they even came into my room, I felt this really heavy energy, like this, oh, it was just awful, this heavy energy, this, like, it was just nasty. Like, I haven't felt this energy before. So before they even came into my room, I just went, oh my God, what's happening? Because this was in the middle of the night. My partner was sleeping already and the kids were in bed. Everyone was in bed. And I kind of woke up to this feeling of dread. It was just disgusting. So before I actually saw them come into my room, I saw this other kind of entity come through, and he looked like a troll. He looked like a kind of a troll looking thing with this weird face. He came right. And this is all in my mind, but of course not, you know, in physical form. So he came in and he kind of came right up to me and he looked at me, and I've just gone, oh my God. They used to come up really close to me sometimes, like right in my face. And, it, you know, it would actually shock me a little bit. After that, like after he kind of went, that's when these three beings came into my room. Now, these three beings were like, I've never felt any kind of energy like this. It was just so dark and it was just heavy, really heavy energy. So when the other spirits come through, it's normally a lighter energy because I was feeling the different forms of energies and the frequencies. Now, when these ones came through, they appeared to me, and I actually saw them in my mind's eye, and there were three of them with these capes, but I couldn't see their faces. And they were just standing on the side of my bed looking at me, and then they said to me, if you come and work for us, you can have anything you want.
Huh.
Right? Yes. And I looked at them and I've just gone, oh my God, get out of my room, get out of here. I don't want to work for you, go away. Now, the thing is, they were throwing their power around because they didn't want to leave. So it took me, like, they were trying to create this, you know, this fear in me to say, yeah, I'm going to come and work for you. Do you know what I mean? Just to get rid of them?
Yes.
So that's the kind of feeling I had. But eventually I called, you know, my guides, I called my grandparents, I called, you know, Source, I called the angelics, I called whoever I could to get rid of these beings out of my room. And eventually they went. But the whole experience kind of shook me up a little bit. So I was experiencing all kinds of frequencies and energies at that time, trying to work out, you know, I think that, well, I actually know now that my guides are trying to show me the different energies. Now, you don't know the dark unless you experience the dark. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So it's like, Yeah, so how do I know what's the light and what's the dark if I'm not experiencing it and being exposed to all, you know, varieties of energies? So it was, I was going through this stage where I was just being, you know, shown all these different energy forms, energetic forms. So, I mean, that kind of went through, and I eventually did go to see a medium. And this medium, because what was happening was I couldn't control my abilities. So I'd be constantly on. So I'd be walking around the shopping centre seeing spirit. I'd be tuning into people. It was so full on. And with three children, especially a newborn, I was absolutely exhausted. I was like exhausted. I couldn't sleep at night. They were bothering me at night because I had no control. It was like they were controlling me, basically. So I had no control. And I had the fear as well. So I was experiencing, you know, a lot of the dark stuff too, as I said before. And I actually had to get someone to come in to clear my house. It was quite an intense couple of years at the start. So eventually I actually went to mediumship class where I learned about my abilities because I had no idea. See, I came from a science background. So to me, anything that you can't prove and you can't see doesn't exist. That's the program that they teach, you know, in academia land, especially in science. So I was fighting with, you know, that program and what I was actually seeing. And then it became a reality to me that, hang on a minute, this stuff is real. I'm really seeing it. So I never actually believed in any of the psychic stuff, any of the mediumship stuff, even though I was experiencing some stuff, but I was blocking it out. So I didn't want to know about it. It was like, I don't want to know about it. I'm not interested in it. It doesn't exist. And I kept going with my career and the science stuff. And eventually I did go to a medium because it was just that intense that I was absolutely exhausted physically, mentally, emotionally. I was exhausted. And it got to the point as well where my partner used to actually see things in the bedroom. Like he'd see orbs coming through and then morphing into, like, you know, humanoid shapes. Or he'd wake up and he'd see lights around my side of the bed. Or, you know, he was experiencing stuff as well through me, like with the stuff that was happening to me, he would actually see some stuff in the bedroom. So it was pretty full on. It was a full on intense time, like pretty much for the whole family, but mostly me, of course. But he was also experiencing some stuff. My family was as well. My sister actually experienced some stuff too. So did my mum. So while they were with me. So it was kind of really full on. Now, when I went to see that medium, I actually went to learn how to control these abilities and shut them down. I wanted to shut them down. I didn't want them. So it's not something that I've asked for, these abilities. They kind of just naturally came on. Like, I didn't develop them. I didn't, you know, want them. I didn't want any of it. I just wanted it all shut down. I wanted to continue with my life and just shut this everything down. I didn't want it. So I went to see this medium, and she was an older lady, very, very experienced. She was actually a platform medium. And she was from England, and I went to see her, and we had a conversation, and I decided, or we both kind of talked about it, and she said to me, Sue, I think you're a medium. I think you're contacting spirit, but you don't know how to control it, and you're too open. So I started going to mediumship classes, and I went for 2 years, every single week pretty much, and that's where I learnt, you know, all those different types of abilities that I actually did have, like photo reading, psychometry, you know, some kind of physical mediumship as well. So I learnt, you know, about my abilities, but I also learnt how to control them and, you know, connecting with my guides, and also about how it was like you have to be in control and in charge of your abilities. They can't be controlling you. Spirit can't be controlling you. You have to control spirit and have, you know, boundaries and rules in place. So I hated being touched. I hated when spirit touched. Still hate it now. They're not allowed to touch me. So I have these rules and boundaries in place that I work through, you know, in order to do the work that I do. There has to be rules and boundaries, and they have to know what, you know, what it is they can and can't do, how you want your information. So I learned all about that during that 2 years that I went. I just became a different person. I became more empowered. So, you know, I mean, I can talk forever, James.
Yeah, well, that was quite informative. I've gone through a similar push and pull where what I call Mr. Spock, the logical left side of my brain. And yeah, you know, having gone to uni myself, you know, being like a lover of books and a lover of reading, and that side of my persona, that side of my psyche conflicts with all this other stuff. And I found myself, and it was thanks to a Native American gentleman that I met years ago. As a Navy veteran, U.S. Navy veteran, he took part in these thermonuclear weapons tests in the Pacific, and he talked about how UFOs are flying around all over the place. And he just told me, he brought me up short. He said, you know, you're thinking too much. You're over-intellectualizing, right? And
yeah.
I didn't realize I was doing that. I was trying to conceptualize the stuff that was going on, but I was using the wrong framework. I was using the wrong template. And here's another thing I found out too, Sue, and you may have experienced this yourself. There were times, and this happened a lot, where I'd be getting what I now know to be some kind of a download or a mystical vision, and I'd kind of go into an altered state the moment I try to suss out, okay, what is this? What's going on? What am I being shown? Poof, the whole thing just disappears, gone, right? And it was like, oh, I did it again. Instead of just sitting there and just accepting it, you know what I mean? I had to go and let Mr. Spock elbow his way in, and it screwed everything up.
Yeah, I totally get it. You know, that happened to me too. When I started, because mine went from, you know, the psychic, the mediumship, the spiritual stuff, the spirit stuff, the communication, and seeing ETs. That was another step, you know, in the next stage of the, oh my God, what's going on with me? So I started seeing the ETs, the UFOs. I mean, I was always fascinated with UFOs and aliens. It was just something I grew up with. I was absolutely just fascinated with the science fiction. Any kind of movie that came out, any show I'd be watching. And my father would watch a lot of it with me. He was into the science fiction as well. Got to the point where I kind of accepted where I was. You know, I went, okay then. But I actually left the science field. I couldn't work there any longer. It just didn't vibrate with me. I didn't feel it was right anymore. So I had to leave. So when I did leave, I mean, I thought, you know what, I'm going to look after my three kids. That's going to be what I'm going to do. I'm going to shut everything down, right? That's what I was thinking. That was my plan. But things don't go to plan, right?
Yeah.
So what happened was, then I started getting the ET stuff coming through. That was another level of this denial. What? What's going on? No, I don't think so. Well, I'm going insane again. Like, finally I've settled down with this other stuff, and then I'm getting this next level of, you know, craziness that was coming through. So I started seeing craft in the sky, and, you know, I was going, oh my God, I'm constantly seeing craft. And it got to the point one day, actually, I felt like I was being followed. So while I was seeing these craft in the sky, I felt like I was communicating with them, like I had some kind of telepathic connection. I was driving home with the kids, and there was these three craft, and you could actually see them with your eyes. I could see them. And I said to the kids, hey, look, but they were kind of, you know, still quite little at that stage. And I said, hey, can you guys see anything? And they're like, well, I don't know, Mum, like, you know, whatever. And it got to the point where this craft was that annoying, there was three of them, that I stopped my car and I got out of the car and I actually took pictures. So I took pictures, but at the time when I was taking them, I couldn't see the craft, but it wasn't until I got home, then I zoomed in on it and I could actually see the craft. So I've gone to myself, oh my God, this is real. I'm not seeing this stuff. You know, it's not just my mind. It's actually physically. Because I was the type that had to see things physically. I had to have physical confirmation all the time. So similar to what you were saying before, I didn't just accept it or, you know, think, oh, you know, that's the way it is or whatever. I had to have physical. So after that happened that night, I was sitting and watching TV. Everyone was in bed. And all of a sudden, on the left-hand side near my table, my dining table, I saw these two beings. Now, they were small beings, white, with these dark, like, black eyes. And they were actually looking at me, and I was looking at them going, oh, my God, Sue, you're going insane again. You're seeing beings in your lounge room. Right? So I'm sitting there questioning myself. Okay, I'm going nuts. They're not really there. So I kept looking, but they were there. They were still there. I got to the point where I'm going to myself, okay, if you don't look, they're going to go away. I don't want to know this. This is ridiculous. So I went through the craziness of, you're going crazy, Sue, again, right? And then I heard in my head, no, you're not going crazy, we're really here. I heard that in my head, like telepathically. They said to me, no, you're not crazy, we are really here. And I've just gone, oh, my God. So that was the beginning of the ET stuff. Now, these ones, yeah, they were these white, glowing kind of beings. I've never seen them before. They look like grey, but they were glowing white, like just illuminating this white light. You know, and they didn't feel like they were nasty or anything. They just felt, I mean, at that stage, I was like, what the hell? What's going on? And then after that thing started to progress with the ET stuff, I started seeing, you know, more craft. I had a lot of dreams about craft. Like I'd be dreaming that I'm underneath a craft as it's taking off. And I'd see the underneath of it, I'd be dreaming that I'm at school a lot. So at this stage, I was dreaming I was at school. So sometimes I'd be on this Indian ranch, you know, and they're teaching me telepathy. They're teaching me how to move things with my mind. They're teaching me about communicating with spirits. So I kept going to school at night.
Yeah, hold that thought, Sue. When you mean like an Indian ranch, do you mean like a Native American setting where like elders were teaching?
Yes, that's exactly what I meant.
Wow.
So I would be, yes. So what I'd be, so I remember myself in this dream, and I'd walk into this room. There were all these elders sitting around on these couches, like these, you know, these chairs. And there was a few other people there that were obviously like me, I'd say. And I'd walk in there, and then I'd sit next to it. But it's very fragmented, the dream. So the what I could recall of the dream. And then next thing you know, I'd be in this other room, and they're teaching me how to move things with my mind, or how to use my mind. Yeah, and then there'd be another one where they'd be teaching me, say, how to communicate with spirit. It was just random, how to see with my using my third eye. So I'd be having all these lessons at night. And, you know, that was obviously for the psychic stuff. But then I'd start to have lessons where I was on a craft. So I'd be on a craft and I'd be sitting in this classroom, and in front of me there was like this board. It was like this white illuminated board, and I'd see this black writing, and it was obviously some kind of alien writing. And in my dream, I would actually be able to read it. So I'd be reading this information like it was just plain English. But then when I'd wake up in my conscious state, I couldn't remember what it was that I read. I couldn't remember what the lesson was about. I couldn't remember anything. All I could remember was flashes and fragments of the dream. So I was getting this a lot. I was getting this a lot of the time. And there was one particular one that was really interesting, and I still remember it to this day, was... there was one where I went on board this craft, and it was, but there were always kind of different classrooms. It was never the same classroom. So it wasn't like I walked into the same classroom every time I went up there. It was always something different. And there was one of them when I went in, and they were teaching about the history of language. So I'm sitting in this class. They're teaching me about the history of language. I wake up in the morning. All I remember is the history of language. I remember nothing else. I don't remember what they were teaching me, who was teaching it to me. So it was just frustrating, you know, to wake up in the mornings and just go, okay, well, I had another classroom experience. This one was the history of language, but I have no recall about what it was. So I have experiences like that. And there was another one too where they were teaching me, about, you know, about the planet and about how bad the planet is and how we have to do things and the ascension and how things are going to change. And, you know, so I'd be getting all these different types of lessons on this craft. Now, this was happening, like, after I awakened to, you know, the psychic abilities and the mediumship and everything like that, all the spiritual stuff. But it was this next level of the ET stuff. Now, I'd wake up in the morning, too, and I'd be going, Sue, you know, I kept questioning myself all the time. I wasn't trusting myself. I was constantly, you know, second-guessing myself. I wanted more proof. It was like, you know, Sue, what are you doing? This is crazy. You're a scientist. What are you doing? So I was constantly smashing myself with this negativity and the lack of trust in what I'm receiving. So it was all about trust. Now, I got to the point where I was really tested for the trust. So when I was doing this mediumship, after a while, I had to go on a platform. So I had to get up in front of an audience, go onto the platform, and trust spirit 100% for the information I was getting in front of all these faces looking at me on stage. So it was like a massive test for me to be able to go out in front of an audience, not having to, you know, prepare myself for it apart from meditating and connecting, but no information about anything, you know, because usually when I do presentations in my work, you prepare for them, you have slides, you'd have, you know, all this kind of resources around you to be able to use to present the information. But with this, it was like basically it was me, myself and I, and spirit on stage. So I got pushed on, you know, but I'm kind of prepared for it, but I got onto the stage, pushed up there, and I'm standing there going, oh, my God, what are you doing, Sue? There's all these faces staring at me. And I'm just going, please, Spirit, can you please give me something? I look like a total, like, crazy person up here, right? And next thing you know, I started getting info. I started getting, I call them a download, like you do, a download. So I started, you know, I focused on the one member of the audience, and I started getting information about, I think it was a son that passed away in a car accident. So, you know, I was getting information about, you know, how the car hit, which side hit, how he passed away. So I started getting all this information coming through. So that was my really big test. My test was to go out on stage in front of all these people, not really prepared with any knowledge of anything that's going on apart from trusting spirit and myself and connecting and going out there and just staying and trusting what I'm getting. So that was a massive test for me, trust. You know, I've been, Spirit gave me all these opportunities to, you know, go out there and start, you know, trusting what I'm getting. And you know what, James? I still wasn't trusting.
Yeah.
So when
it's a process, definitely.
It is definitely a process. So when I got to the point where the ET stuff started coming through, it began all over again, the trust. So I kind of worked my way through the spiritual stuff and I go, yeah, I kind of get it now. You know, I kind of understand a little bit of it because you can never really understand all of it. There's always something constantly presenting itself that you scratch your head and you go, okay then, so this is something new. So it's a constant process and a constant learning. But what happened with the ET stuff coming through, I wasn't trusting that either. I was going, okay then, right, all right then, it's my imagination, I'm seeing things, because a lot of it wasn't physical. It was just, you know, through the mind's eye, apart from the craft that I saw with my physical eyes. So I got to the point where I was pushing it away. And then what happened was I kept asking, it needs to be physical, I need something physical. So one night I had this experience that really shook me, it really woke me up. What happened was, I saw myself, so I went to sleep at night, then I saw myself, I don't know, it felt like a dream at that point. It's very much a dream state. So I saw myself lying on this table and I saw this person next to me. Now, it looked like, the face of this person looked like one of the people that I used to go to class with in the mediumship class. And it was this female and I looked at her and as I looked at her, I knew that it was a mask. It wasn't real. It was something else behind that face. So they were masking themselves. Now I understand they were masking themselves because they didn't want to scare me with their real appearance at that point. So, and what happened was as I was on this table, I started to feel myself coming down. I felt like I was being pushed down. Before I actually got pushed down, I saw three long fingers. They were kind of like a brownish colour, the fingers. They were these long three digits. And that's what I saw. And I went, oh, my God, what's going on? So I was at that point. I was like conscious. I felt like a real physical experience. And next thing you know, I started feeling myself coming through the roof of my house, through the ceiling of my house in my bedroom, and the whole room was lit up. My body was vibrating like crazy. I could hear this loud humming sound, like it was really loud. And I felt myself slowly being put down into my bed. And this was all physical. It was like real. This was real. And I came into my bed and I'm looking around and I'm just going, oh, God, what's going on here? Like I wasn't scared. I had no fear. I was totally relaxed. It was like I've done it a million times before. So it wasn't anything, you know, special. But the fact was this time I was aware of it and I was awake. And then I felt myself landing into my bed. And you know what I did, James? I turned around and went to sleep.
It's quite natural, especially if there's something being done to us too.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, I've gone through all this. I haven't questioned it. I've just gone, oh, yeah, cool. That's nice. Okay, I roll over and went to sleep. So, and then in the morning I woke up and I've gone, hang on a minute. What just happened last night? Because I remembered it. But the stuff that happened on the craft, I don't remember. All I remember was the masked face, the digits, the fingers, and then coming through physically into the bed and then turning and rolling over and going to sleep. And it was like, hang on a minute, this is not normal. So that whole day I was thinking about it. I'm going, they're trying to show me that this is real. You know, this is not my imagination. This is the experience that I asked for, you know, for it to become more real, for it to become, you know, physical, not just through my mind's eye, you know. So I went through that, and you know what? I still didn't believe it. I still questioned it. I questioned it and questioned it, and I've gone, nah, I don't believe it. It's ridiculous. There's no way that could happen. Why would I roll over and go to sleep? You know, I'd be freaking out. So I was kind of asking myself and going over these questions over and over and over in my head. It was actually doing my head in for like about a week. So what happened then was I had another experience. So one morning I woke up, I don't remember anything on the craft, but I woke up and I had like a bubble, like a bubble on my with my left shoulder. And I've gone, where did this bubble come from? Like, why do I have this? Like, it was like a blister. And I'm like, where did this blister come from? Why do I have this blister? And I could actually feel it. Like, it was, you know, it was not throbbing, but I felt there was something there. So when I put my finger on it, I've just gone, oh, what's that? And I looked in the mirror, it was like this blister. So what happened was then my little one woke up, the youngest one. He was, by this stage, I think he was about two. So, you know, this has been going on for a few years now with the spirit stuff, and now I'm going to the ET stuff. So I went into the room and I was dressing my little guy, and I found the same mark on his shoulder.
Uh-huh.
So both of us had a mark, the same blister thing, on the exact same side and the shoulder. And I've just gone, what the heck? And then I knew, so it was like a knowing. So I knew straight away that they were trying to show me, this is real, Sue. That's what was left a mark there. So I wasn't experiencing anything negative that I can recall anyway. So I was being told, like a knowing, that that is a physical mark to let me know that there is something going on. This is physical. This is real. And then when I saw it on my little guy as well, I just went, okay, then he's got it too. That's when I came to the point and I went, oh gosh, this is real, and why is this happening? So then I went through that whole thing going, you know, why is this happening? Why am I being shown this? What's the point of it? So I didn't actually know my galactic connection at that point. I mean, I kind of knew about, you know, putting things on the side of my windows at night, knowing they were coming for me, that type of stuff. But went into adulthood, I don't have much recall of what happened as a child, only like flashes of it. So it was like I was totally blocked from the information, or they didn't want me to know because they obviously wanted me to go down the science path or something. I'm not quite sure exactly, but I kind of understand it more now than I did at that point. But at that point, it was just confusing. So I've just gone to myself, oh, my God, Sue, you know, this is real. So that's when my experiences with, you know, the ETs and the interdimensional stuff really started coming forward. So it was like my whole experience as to where I'm at to the point right now was also natural and so planned. It was like they were planning in stages what they were going to do next with me.
Yes, like it was orchestrated. It was orchestrated, yes, to get you to this, yes, level of awareness.
Yes, that's right. So they didn't want to smash me because they didn't want to give me the information all at once. They were doing it in stages, even though it was intense. There were intense awakenings at each stage, but they knew what I could handle. That's what I felt. So they knew that I could handle it. Because I was quite strong, like mentally, and I was just like a strong-minded person. So they knew that I could handle it, so they were throwing it at me in intense stages. So this ET stage went on for a while. I mean, I was having so many experiences with, you know, different beings, a lot of the angelic beings as well. I was having experiences with, like, a lot of the blue beings, like the Arcturians and Andromedans. I was having experiences with Pleiadians. So I was having experiences, a lot of experiences with these robed people as well. They look like us, but I could never see their faces. I always hid their face. I could see the hair, and they were always in these white robes. And I had a few experiences with them too, where they'd come into my room and, you know, they'd be leaving, like, offerings and something on the side of my bed. Like, they'd come and give me gifts. These females, it was just so weird. They'd come through my wall, and they'd give me gifts. And then there was this other man that looked like, he was this bearded dude, and he came in. He actually came, his experience was really interesting. He came in into my room. And he stood on the end of my bed and he opened up this really massive book. It was like this really ancient book. So he started reading from this book and I'm sitting in bed going, oh, my God, what is going on? The room filled up with these people. The room filled up with these people with these robes, right? And I'm sitting in bed and he starts reading something and I'm going, what is he reading? It's just, you know, James, it's just so out there, some of my experiences, that it's like, you know, it just makes you go, oh, my God, what is going on? Is this really real? But it was real. I saw it playing out in my mind's eye. And you know what? My ex was next to me as well. And he actually couldn't see it, but he could feel it. So we were both in the bedroom while this was happening. And he says to me, his heart rate started going up. So the energy was, like, shifting. You could feel the shift in energy. He couldn't see it, but I could see it. I could feel it and see it. He could just feel it. So it wasn't just me that was experiencing this stuff. There was people around me that were experiencing this stuff as well. So, you know, it's really an eye-opener. I wasn't quite sure what they were doing. They were reading something. It was some kind of initiation or something, right? I was like, what the hell?
And then did you hear, like, a telepathic message or words, or what kind of impressions were you picking up?
So what I was picking up was, it was some kind of initiation or some kind of, it was like the next stage of something. So it was like I passed one stage and they're putting me into another stage. That's what it felt like. And they were kind of all celebrating. They're all really happy about it. And I'm just sitting there going, what the? And then there was this intense light came through the top of the ceiling of my house onto my bed. And it was like the thing scanned me right down to my soul level. It was like this scanning thing. And it kind of went right through me, right down to the soul level, and I just felt so vulnerable. You know, I was like in the bed going, oh my God, you know, I'm feeling like they're totally looking through my soul. So that's what it felt like. It was like this intense, you know, scanning. They were scanning me. So it was, you know, this kind of experience. So I had all these weird type of things going on during my awakening to the point, I mean, I could go on forever, James. There's so much to talk about.
Yeah, I understand. And it's good because it gives the listeners good overall spectrum analysis of what you've been going through, because due to the malign influence of certain alien abduction encounter researchers that only focus, and also the lights in the sky researchers that only focus on lights in the sky, or the ones that only focus on soil samples at a landing site, et cetera, they leave the impression that this is something that only happens in the physical 3D, that it's something that at times can be tangible, at times some kind of tangible proof can be left behind. But in actual fact, those who have these experiences, like myself and yourself and many others, the experiences encompass all aspects of the human experience in our dreams, in mystical visions, in deja vu and synchronistic type experiences, in alternate states of reality, alternate states of being. So what you've described is actually more like what people, you know, maybe not in such a concentrated form as you, but what they experience, you know, parts of what you describe, bits and pieces, is something that a lot of us that have gone through these experiences can relate with, because it's very much an energetic, impressionistic from the standpoint of energies, feelings, sensations, visions, images, and it encompasses all aspects of our humanness.
Yes, that's right. When I did have the physical experiences on the craft, I wake up in the morning, but I couldn't remember them all. So it was very fragmented. It's not like, you know, it's not like a story from a book. You don't open up the book and start reading the story. That's not how I experienced what I was experiencing. It was very fragmented and kind of daydreamy. And then you get sections of it where it's really clear. And then you get sections of it where, you know, it's not so clear. And you're like, what's going on? One minute you're there, the next minute you're seeing this. So these images, and it's, you're kind of trying to put it together. So I did have a few physical things. One of them was, another physical thing that I had was, oh, I can't remember. Hang on, I'm just trying to think of it. I was having a shower one day, and on the top of my head, right on my scalp, on the left-hand side, when I touched it, I felt like this was soft. So it felt like this. It felt like there was like a little hole there or a little thing there, and I'm going, what the heck? Why do I feel that? So as I put my hand on it, because it was quite sore, as I put my hand on it, I had a vision, and in this vision, I was in this kind of dentist chair. So I was lying in this dentist chair, and I saw this really long needle, and I saw this being. Now, I don't remember what the being looked like. He felt like a male, felt like a tall being, but it wasn't like I could fully recall who the being was. And I saw this long kind of needle thing, and I saw them injecting or putting that needle into my head. So, and I was lying on this dentist chair. I was fully awake. I was fully like conscious. I had no fear. And it was like it was okay for them. Whatever they were doing, it was okay. So I actually saw them put this needle right into my head. So I'm just assuming of what I think it was now, some kind of implant. So I felt they were taking it out. So, you know, just things like that I've experienced. There's also, I'm getting a lot of those bilocation ones where I'm, like, for instance, I'm driving the car and next minute I'm actually on a craft at the same time. So there was a few of those that I've been experiencing, and they've been, you know, in the last couple of years that I've been experiencing that. So it's like I bilocate, so I'm here and I'm somewhere else at the same time. So one of them was I was going to the crystal shop. So I had my friend in the car, we're going to the crystal shop, and we're going around the roundabout. Next thing you know, I start getting, because I get like this pressure in my ears, and I feel like I'm being lifted up. So it's like this feeling of, oh, something's going on, because I can feel my ears just go, oh, this pressure. And then this feeling of being lifted up. So as I'm driving the car, I'm feeling these feelings. Next thing you know, I'm on a craft and I'm standing in this kind of tube. So I'm in this tube, okay, this long column. And I could see my friend as well on the left-hand side of me. She's in a column as well. But there's both of us in this tube. Now, the tubes have this kind of gas in them. It looked like a bluey gas kind of thing going through it. And I'm standing in this tube. I wasn't moving, but I was conscious. And I'm looking at something. There was something in front of me I was looking at, some kind of writing again. And I felt like the top of my head was opened up through my crown, and I was getting all this information. I call them like information bombs.
That's a good way to describe
that's what I call it. Yeah, information bomb. So it's like they've opened up the top of my head and they're just pouring this information in. But at the time, I have no idea what the information is. So it's like I'm getting the, I know it's information coming through and I know it's knowledge, but I don't understand at that point what it is. So I'm standing there, and the next thing you know, I'm out of the tube. So it's just so fragmented, James. It's like all over the place. And I'm driving the car at the same time. So I'm on the craft experiencing this, but I'm driving the car, you know, on the road at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. You're on, you know, automatic pilot at some level as far as the aspect of you that's driving the car. You're still following the rules of the road. You're still stopping at stoplights, but, you know, a very real part of you. Something like that happened to me that I recall. I just had this experience where I was in this medical clinic in a very small room. It was like a one-room clinic, and there was this being. It was kind of comical when I look back at it. It was this gray hybrid alien kind of being with a crooked black wig and literally an old-fashioned nurse's hat, and she had a nurse outfit. Yeah. And she was holding me down on this table, and I was fussing, and because she wanted to inject me in my upper right bicep. And in order to kind of subdue me, like, she grabbed me in an unmentionable place, squeezed, and then I screamed. And at that moment, she goes boff and puts the long needle into my right upper bicep. And then she leaves, and then I get up off the table and I find my way outside. And it's kind of paradoxical because I find myself on this little grassy hill with this little room, this little small building of which I presumably stepped out of. And as far as the eye can see in any direction, there's just like grass and like sloping like downwards, right? And I stood outside this little building where I just come out, and I'm touching this puncture wound from the hypodermic needle. I could feel the puncture wound, and I can feel the ache. And as I'm touching this with my left index finger, the phone rings in my bedroom. And so I kind of go into split consciousness. And so there's a part of me that's laying in bed. Okay, this is strange because I can see myself clearly in this other reality, touching this puncture wound that where I'd just been injected by this weird-looking nurse. And the phone is ringing. And so I made myself stay in our reality and get out of bed and answer the phone. Turned out to be a close abductee, my lab female friend of mine. And I just told her, yeah, you won't believe what just happened to me, right? Now, what was interesting was I still felt extreme discomfort and pain where that injection mark was in that other reality. However, there was no puncture wound. Right. But I felt the pain and discomfort exactly where that weird looking nurse had injected me. So it was an example where I was like in two places in one time. And also the Carla Turner was shown. Well, actually, it was her widower, Elton Turner. He was supposed to be on a leave. He was on a leave of absence, recreation. He'd gone somewhere on holiday because his day job with the Army was Army top secret listening post in West Berlin somewhere. I think he was with the Army Security Agency. And he'd gone away, I think, to Switzerland somewhere to go skiing. I can't remember. He told me the story himself, and I read about it. Well, what was interesting was there was a duplicate, a carbon copy of him that had gone to work those 3 or 4 days when he really, the real him, was off on holiday somewhere from the Army.
Wow.
He had a counterpart that was there working in that top secret listening post doing his day-to-day job. Nobody knew any different. They just thought it was Elton there, right? And then he comes back, and it's like, you know, they act as if he'd never left. Right. And then it dawns on him, listening to them, that they'd been interacting with like a doppelganger or something the last few days while
Yeah.
he was off on holiday. So there's that element, the bilocation aspect, the cloning aspect, because it kind of muddies the waters. It kind
Yes.
of gets, more and
Yes.
more kind of complex. But as a segue into the second segment, Sue, and this has been a fascinating, enlightening first half. One of the things you do is One of the many things you do is that you close portals, you clear houses, and I'd like you to get into more of this in the second half. But could you give an idea to the listening audience, the kind of experiences you've had with portals, whether they're in a dream, mystical dream scenario, whether they're in a, etheric third eye vision scenario in your waking consciousness, or when these other realms and dimensions kind of momentarily merge with ours and suddenly you see a big honking portal open up right in front of you. Could you tell us a bit about what you've experienced, to kind of give the audience an idea of what to look forward to in the second half?
Okay. Well, most of the ones I do see are in my third vision. So when I go and do a house clearing, so I get called, because there's things going on at somebody's house or, and I actually remote view them too. So I can actually, if I tune into an area specifically, I can actually try, I remote view into the house and I know exactly where the portal is because I feel the energy. So what happens is I go in there and I do see it with my third eye vision. I see it swirling. I see how big it is. I feel the energy of it. Now, I did have an incident, when was it, a few weeks ago, where I went to do a house and she had a portal in her bedroom, in her cupboard. A lot of them are in the cupboards, okay, which is really weird. And when I saw your lecture and you said about the cupboards, I've gone, oh dear, there we go, okay. So you kind of confirmed it for me. So what happened is when I went in there, I did see it in my third eye vision. However, when I was doing the clearing, because I was doing the clearing and I was lifting the energy and I was using some resins, and so I was smoking everything up a little bit. And when I went into the cupboard to go through the cupboard and to clear some of that energy and to lift it, you could actually see the smoke was not going in the area where the vortex was. It was being pushed out. Okay? So I called my clients and I said, have a look at this. So as they stepped in there, before I even showed them the smoke, I said, can you feel something? And the mother, who was obviously the more sensitive one, says to me, I feel like there's a breeze here. So she actually could physically feel some kind of, some of this energy that was being accumulated from this vortex. And I said to her, well, this is where the vortex is. So then I got the resin out, the smoky stuff out. I've gone in and I've gone, look at this. So as I'm holding it, I should have actually taped it. Next time it happens, I'm actually going to film it. So what happened was I'm holding it there and I could see the smoke. We could all, well, there was four of us, five of us actually. We could all see the smoke coming, blowing towards me instead of blowing into the cupboard. So there was definitely some kind of, force there that was pushing out this resin, the smoke. And, so then I had to put my hand right in and then you could actually see the smoke was like kind of swirling. So it was really, really interesting. And if you hold like a pendulum as well, pendulums pick them up really well too, the portals.
Yes.
So there's different types. I mean, I've seen ones on land. So there's ones that people open up by doing, black magic in Ouija boards or that type of stuff. There's ones that open up by, these entities interdimensional. The ones that open up also based on the land and the energy of the land. A lot of the ones that we have around here where I live, in particular areas that are actually on the land, just kind of in the middle of a park or somewhere, there a lot of them are, a lot of the Aboriginal land around here. So a lot of them are like sacred sites or, sacred land, and they've got these natural portals, from the earth.
I was walking through a park, and in Hughesdale, I think it's a suburb of Melbourne, the Hughesdale area near Little Athens. And there is this park there where they said there's this vortex, right? And I felt the energy when I was walking through this. And then they told me the story. I gotta ask Laura next time I have her on the show or next time I talk to her. She said that out of this portal, one time she was walking along, and some kind of freaky, male entity kind of like accosted her, kind of. It looked kind of like a transient from another dimension, kind of like long hair and kind of dressed like a vagrant or something, but it had gangly arms and it walked in an unnatural gait. And it seemed to follow them for a little while, and they realized it was following them, and then they turned around after a while and it disappeared. I may be getting the details fuzzy, but they said that in this park, not too far from where they live, and then I had Rock Astaldo on this show before, and he talked about there's a park in Long Beach, California, where like there's vortexes that beings come in and out of, and that's basically what happens is that these portals open up, and some of them are naturally occurring, as you know, naturally occurring. They just open up on occasion, and things come in and out. And when we start the second half, I'll tell a story about a portal that was in the bedroom in, where was this? It was in Phoenix, Arizona. I helped my friend Gloria Hawker, who was doing an investigation and doing hypnotherapy on a married couple and all the freaky stuff that was going on to them with ETs and interdimensionals in this house in Phoenix. And I walked into that bedroom with a compass, and I'll tell that story later. Anyhow, we reached the end of a very fascinating first segment with Sue Plavetich Waters. Sue, can you let our listeners know how they can contact you, what your email address is, if they need any of your services?
Okay, you can contact me. Probably the best place is Facebook at the moment. So just the Facebook address that you've said. My email address is sueplavetich1111@gmail.com. So it's SuePlavetich 1111, as in the number one, @gmail.com. So they can contact me through there too. But the best way to contact me, as I say, through Messenger, through my Facebook page, is probably the best way to contact me at the moment. I am working on a website as well, but it's taking a while. As it does, you know, we're trying to juggle everything. So, yes, that'll be the best place. Thanks, Jane.
And we will have all of Sue's contact information, Facebook information, etc., on the Cosmic Switchboard website, as well as our dedicated YouTube channel. So we've reached the end of the first half. For those of you out there listening, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we will see you at the top of the second half.